Do you know what a group of bunnies is called?
I do. Should I pretend I don't? Because you want to tell me?
I was hoping you didn't know. I didn't know. And April sent us a note. She sent us an email and she was like, hey, just so you know, a group of bunnies is called a fluffle.
Which I think is great. When we were talking on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about what a group of bunnies was called, we didn't know. I immediately Google. You know me. I'm like, even when I'm watching a TV show, if I don't know the answer to something, I have to Google it. So I did know, but I will let you have this moment.
All right, because I think a fluffle is so cute. Like,
Isn't
I want
that
all the money fluffles.
cute? Welcome to Get the Hell Out of Debt, the podcast. Your host, Aaron Sky Kelly, is a multiple award-winning and best-selling author of the books Get the Hell Out of Debt and Naked Money Meetings. She's helped thousands of people pay off millions of dollars in consumer debt and build wealth, and she's passionate about helping you become financially free. She's joined by her lifelong best friend, and now yours, Carrie Blakeney. They talk about money, relationships, life, and you just never know what's going to come out of their mouths. Which is why this podcast has an explicit rating. Let's see what they're up to today.
Today, we get to talk to a phase threer, someone that's gotten the hell out of debt, and we're talking to Cheyenne. What do you know about Cheyenne?
Well, I know she's got a lot of fluffles, and I do remember her right from the very beginning. I remember the first time she introduced herself. She's got a really cool story, and I know she's going to inspire a lot of people no matter where you are at in your financial journey, whether it's phase one, two, or three.
How do you keep track of all of these people that are in this program? I don't know how you do this because we have so many lovely people that keep joining us, and I feel like you know them all.
I know somebody asked me one time if I have a spreadsheet of everybody, and I don't. But you know when they say, like, you know, when you have babies and you have one baby and then you're going to give birth to your second baby, and they're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to love the babies much. And then all the old people say, oh, but your heart will grow. You'll have enough love for them all. That's how I feel about people in the Get the Hell Out of Debt program. They're all, you know, in my fluffle. And so I just remember them. I don't know. I just care.
Well, your heart currently is broken into 1 gabillion pieces because we have a lot of people in here. Tell us how you found Aaron and Get the Hell Out of Debt.
So I was talking to a friend about podcasts, and she was like, yeah, you should listen to this Get the Hell Out of Debt podcast. I've been listening to it. I've been really into like financial wellness and stuff. And so I thought, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, I want to dabble in that. I was also looking to buy my first home. So I thought, well, I have credit card debt, but I also want to jump on the market now while I'm young. And then, you know, so it doesn't blow up like it is now. And so I was thinking, but maybe I can do both. Maybe I can pay that off and buy an investment property and do all the things. And then I kind of dabbled in it. But in 2019, I decided to be sober for 2 years. So that was a really awesome part of my lifestyle. And I started dating my now husband, and I also consolidated my debt. So I had $16,000 of credit card debt, and I consolidated it because I was talking to another friend who was like, yeah, if you consolidate it, it'll be better for you. And this was before I had really dived in to get the hell out of debt. No, I know now that is a no-no. Don't ever consolidate your debt when your money muscles are not strong, because I ended up doubling it. So
Oh
I,
no.
yeah, it was not fun. I was very, very upset with myself. So because I couldn't afford this consolidation, now I'm putting things on credit cards again, doubling my debt. And then, you know, things started getting serious with my now husband, and I wanted to be better for him because he's great with money, but I wanted to also be that for him too. And so I started like setting up my net worth spreadsheet. I was kind of, again, just dabbling. It was a lot of dabbling for a few years. And then finally, like, got really, really serious about it. And I had made it a goal that I wanted to spend all of our wedding anniversaries in phase three. And that almost happened, but I was just too much shy of it.
That's a really good goal, though. That's like a pee your pants goal, Erin, that she like was like, I'm gonna set this really big goal for myself. So you dabbled, like you said, for a bit. So then all of a sudden you were like, okay, wait, I'm getting married and this is my new goal. And that was like your catalyst to start and go all in.
Yep, exactly.
She
Yes.
posted the engagement photo. I remember her posting the engagement photo in the social media group, and she stated this. So everybody went nuts and just started cheering her on because it's kind of romantic when you think about it, right? Like you're really saying to your partner, wow, I can raise my standards for our life together. And anyway, it was super cool. And she's like, I missed it by 2 months. Missed it by 2 months. If you look at the trajectory of a calendar over your lifetime, it's like a pinpoint that you missed it by. Something massive to celebrate for sure, because you really worked really hard. And life got in the way. Like COVID, you were in the middle of a pandemic when all of this was happening. So there was a lot of unknowns. And the fact that you still made it happen is really remarkable.
Tell us how much your net worth has grown since you started the program.
Yep. So my net worth has grown 681.27%.
Wow.
And I had to rerun that number because I was also very shocked that it could go up that much. But yes.
I'm not surprised. I really am not. Because just the way you've done the work and the way you've committed to up leveling, not just the financial area of your life, but like all areas, it's all related. And so you don't get a 681% rate of return if you're sliding through the program half-assed. You are fully committed, and I am not surprised. And I know that that's just going to continue to compound, and you're going to be a very wealthy woman.
Thank you.
Okay. So you decide that you're going to do this. How much debt did you have at the time?
So I had about 28,000.
And so, you did the first thing first, like started at Quick and Dirty?
Yep. So started my Quick and Dirty, started selling things, realized, you know, as everybody does when you start phase one and start building your Quick and Dirty, that $300 Michael Kors purse is only going to get you $20 on Facebook Marketplace, and it is not worth it. As I got older, the looking rich didn't matter to me as much anymore. What even got me into debt was like, I moved out when I was younger. I shouldn't have moved out and tried to pay for everything on my own, because I ended up putting rent and bills on credit cards. And then also just having a hard time setting boundaries. I'm a recovering people pleaser, and I wanted to do everything and go to all the birthdays and go to all the trips and do all the things. You know, thankfully, I feel like my friend group has grown and we all respect our financial boundaries more now. But it definitely was that discomfort that had to be felt in the beginning.
Tell me more about this recovering people pleaser. So what were some of the issues that you saw with your friend group when you decided that you were going to get out of debt and this lifestyle wasn't for you anymore?
It was a lot of tit for tat. Like, you said no, that you can't come to this dinner, but I see you're out right now and doing this thing. And it was like, well, I budgeted for that. I didn't budget for what you just invited me to. And so just trying to set those boundaries. And mind you, I mean, I was early mid-20s probably. So trying to talk about those things at that age when the thing to do is like go out and drink and party and have fun, it was really difficult. And so, yeah, I had to go through a period of like, people didn't talk to me for a little bit. People were upset with me. And that was really hard because, like I said, I want to be there for everybody and I want to do all the things and I want to show up. But I started to realize I don't have to show up financially in every situation. Like if I'm there for a friend and we go for a walk, or if I call a friend and give them 30 minutes of my time, like that's good enough. And if that's not good enough, then it's time to reevaluate things, right?
Yes. That's so hard though. I'm so proud of you for doing that, because gosh, that's hard. And I mean, those friends, I'm so mad at them for you. I'm mad at them on your behalf, because they didn't need to do that to you. You are growing and they're not. And I think they were just jealous of you, Cheyenne.
Perhaps. We're all good now, but.
Did you make it through any of those friendships? Like, do you still have some of that friend group, or have you moved on now and found people that align more with what you're doing now?
Yeah, I would say majority of my friends, we were able to recover from that period of time. There are some friends that I kind of lost along the way, but for the most part, I would say definitely stronger because of it. And it's awesome to watch them grow now, because in a sense, I've created a sort of testimony. And so they're like, wow, if Cheyenne can do it, like I can do it too. Like I thought she was full of shit when she was talking about all this, but I guess she was onto something, right?
That gave me goosebumps just now. That, because yeah, those are the people that you want in your world. And I was just going to say, if you have any of those mean girls left, just tell Erin and I their addresses, because we'll go after them. And you've got us now. We're your new besties.
Carrie's about to get a matching tattoo with you any minute. So brace yourself.
I love that.
Okay, so you fill your Quick and Dirty, and then which debt did you decide to tackle first?
The spicy method was definitely my plan of attack. And yeah, the consolidation made me the most angry. I was very, very mad about that one. And so that, I would consider that one my first spicy debt. And then I also had to borrow money from my dad at some point. And that was really hard for me. I actually realized through, you know, with the Naked Money Meetings book and the blocks that you discover, I realized I had a worthiness / guilt block. And I don't like asking for help. I used to not feel worthy of it. I used to feel like I didn't deserve it. And so having to ask my dad for help was really, really huge. And it was very, very important to me that I paid him back, because it wasn't just like $100. It was thousands. And so I made sure I kind of flipped my strategy for a little bit. And I started paying him off first. And then once I paid him off, I moved to the consolidation.
That was nice that your dad was able to help you out. Did he expect you to pay him back?
He's very supportive. I don't think he expected it. He gives money to a lot of our family members that aren't well-to-do, and they never pay him back. And so because I've seen him do that over the years, he is very supportive. But I think also sometimes he can be a little bit like, oh, well, I took care of that for you kind of parent. So I wanted to make sure he didn't have anything to rub my nose into, if that makes sense. But also just like seeing my parents get taken advantage of over the years, I wanted to make sure he didn't get taken advantage of by me.
You're a good daughter. You sound like a great daughter.
Thank you.
So it took you how long then to pay off your debt?
About 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you remember when you made that final payment, when everything balanced to zero?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I was super excited, because while I didn't hit phase 3 in my married anniversary, July is technically me and my husband's dating anniversary. And so I was very excited that I was like officially debt-free. And it was just so awesome being able to tell him that I made that accomplishment, because I remember November 2022, I had my catalytic converter on my car died. Mm-hmm. And it was like a $2,000 repair. And I was already kind of in that like trying to refill my Quick and Dirty and stressing out about that. And so I was like, whatever, I'll just put it on the credit card and my money muscles were weak. And so I put it on the credit card, and I come home and my husband asked me, you know, so how much was it? How'd it go? Blah, blah, blah. And I told him, he goes, well, how did you pay for it? And I go, I put it on the credit card. And he goes, well, why did you do that? And I said, because I don't have enough in my Quick and Dirty to cover that. And he said, okay, we need to have a talk. Like, he was like very serious. He said, when you have emergencies, you come to me. And he basically, in a sense, gave me that permission. Again, I don't like to ask for help. And realizing like, okay, I have a partner. Like, I don't have to do this on my own. He's giving me permission to support me and help me. And he essentially turned into my Quick and Dirty. So he was like, when you have emergencies, you come to me. I want you to focus on your credit cards. The faster you pay those off, the faster we can get to a place where we want to be and continue to like build towards our future.
So hot. I just have to tell you, this is the conversation.
I knew already Erin was like, she's going to jump in here and talk about your husband.
Quick and dirty. I'd be quick and dirty in the sheets is where I would be after this conversation. Good man.
I know. But just getting that permission, and it just kind of was really quick after that. So
I'm so happy for you that you have a partner that's like that. That's incredible, because that's not always the case and is often not the case. So I'm so happy that that's your situation and you've got a great partner by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I know. I feel lucky.
Now that he said that to you, do you feel like it's changed since that conversation? Like, are you able to have open conversations?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mean, I would say that for the most part, we've always had open conversations about money. Like, we had only been dating for maybe 7 or 8 months, and we went to Jamaica for my friend's wedding. It was actually the week right before the pandemic started. So we like just got out like the nick of time. And so we're in Jamaica and we're coming home. It was our first international trip together. And he had spent all his cash on like souvenirs and stuff. And we were hungry. And so I said, oh, well, let me just go get cash out. And so when I sit down, he asks me, he goes, well, how did you get cash out? So I'm explaining it to him. He goes, did you use your debit or your credit card? And I said, I use my debit card. And he goes, you can take cash out with your credit card. Thank God I didn't know that. And so that's when he kind of started the conversation. He goes, well, do you have credit cards? And I said, yes, I do. And he goes, well, do you have credit card debt? And I said, yes. And I told him it was less than 20,000. And he goes, okay, I can work with that.
That's a like me on a date. I'm like, oh, you're picking me up in this car. Is it financed or do you own it outright?
Yeah. So we've always been very open about like those type of conversations. And even while we were starting to move in together, it was, well, how do we feel about bank accounts? And I was like, well, I mean, honestly, I watch my parents fight about money all the time. And for me, like, if you can control that part of your relationship, for us, it just doesn't work and it doesn't make sense. And I'm okay with it. And he's okay with it. And we figured out a way to balance things and that.
Yeah. How do you take care of shared expenses? Because that's a question a lot of people have, right? People just assume as soon as you get married, you have to combine finances. And as you know, we teach there's a number of different ways you can handle finances in a partnership. And you guys have decided to keep your finances separate. I remember you even, we talked about this, I think, in the social media group one time, because I was like, hey, it's totally okay. We don't need to compare ourselves to anyone else. What you're doing is working. And so you're going to keep doing that until it doesn't work, until you need to come up with a new system. So how do you manage shared expenses and individual expenses?
So I still have the property that I had bought in 2018. It's now a rental property.
Just a sec. Take a moment for the applause. Round of applause. Round of applause for Cheyenne turning that into an asset. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So what we did was we figured out like, okay, how much was I paying towards like living expenses when I was by myself? And he looked at what he was paying for living expenses by himself. And we compared and we're like, okay, well, what would make sense to where we would both net out and like save the same amount of money? And so he's a numbers guy. He is good at that stuff. And so we landed on a number. And so I know it's like probably so cringy, but I zell him every month. Like I zell him towards our bills here.
Cringy at all. Zero cringe. Zero cringe. It's actually kind of hot. Like zero cringe. Because it shows that you're on top of your money and you're working together and you're communicating about it. And if you're in a joint bank account situation, you share the money. And Zelle is one way you can share the money. And so, yeah, it's not cringe at all. Zero cringe.
Thank you. Yeah. So I zell him every month. And then I typically take care of the groceries. And of course, if he's ever like coming home from somewhere, or he'll always text me, hey, I'm going to go to the store. Do we need anything? And
oh, and this guy, I feel like this needs an explicit rating because this is porno. This is total ear porn for all the women listening. There's women who are listening to this podcast who've had to pull over on the side of the road and do unspeakable things just so they can concentrate. I'm telling you, this man. Okay, keep going.
Oh, I know. So I would say I take care of groceries 80% of the time. And then he takes care of our traveling. So we'll sit down and we'll talk about our budget for the year and what trips we have coming up and how much we want to spend on them. And we just planned a trip to Switzerland. And I was like, well, how much can I give you? And he's like, I didn't ask you for anything. So that's how we're doing things right now.
So if we didn't have to pay for licensing for music right now, Marvin Gaye would be playing in the background. And in all seriousness, it's cool because all of this is starting with communication. And so you've really taken something that really could have been painful, and it might not always look this way. Like maybe eventually it will make more sense for you to have like, who knows, right? But the way he's honoring the fact that you came from a family where this was so triggering and how you're working to heal those things. So you're like, hey, I'm not ready to share finances because of, like, I love you too much to bring an old pattern into this new relationship. And the way you're really respecting each other and talking about money, and the way he's talking about Switzerland and you're like, how can I contribute? Like you're asking those questions up front instead of making assumptions. All of that is impeccable financial management. Just brilliant.
Thank you.
And it works for you. It's obviously working for you, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Just going back to when I had said that I decided to be sober for 2 years. I mean, that was right before my husband and I started dating. And so I was very nervous about that because I'm still single. I decided I don't want to drink for a while. And I'm like, well, who's going to date me? Who's going to want to date me right now? And he's a triathlete, actually. So he doesn't drink very often anyways. And I would say that was like such a cool part of dating him because we were able to communicate pretty well off the bat. And we didn't have like an alcoholic crutch or liquid courage to kind of be that buffer to help us. We just kind of had to figure it out and like really get to know each other on our own. And I feel like that built like such a strong foundation. I like to have words of the year, intention words of the year. And so my intention word of the year in 2021 was freedom and discipline. And it kind of tied into both paying off debt and introducing alcohol back into my life. It was you know, I'm going to have the freedom to drink again, but I want to have the discipline to make sure it doesn't like get out of control. And then same thing with, I want financial freedom and I want to learn the discipline with my money.
It's really great. I think that's just, that's exactly it. Anytime we have a relationship with something that's unhealthy, doing exactly what you did shows that you're really willing to go, wait a second, I'm not going to live this way anymore. Because we always have to remember, like, what got us here to where we are in our lives today is going to be the thing that keeps us here. If we want to go somewhere else, we have to live differently. We have to make new changes because what got us here is not going to get us there, as they say. So when you're realizing like, gosh, I'm in an unhealthy pattern here with both my relationship with alcohol, my relationship with finances or whatever, I've got to make some changes. You know, we talk about it in the Get the Hell Out of Debt program. When you arrived to the Get the Hell Out of Debt program, if we were a detox center, right? And you were like, you had to like show up on a bus. Imagine, Carrie, we have like 100 acres somewhere and people just get dropped off and they have to put their credit cards in a Ziploc baggie. We give them a pat down. We're pulling credit cards out of cracks and different things. Like, you know what I mean? And sending them over to the campfire to have a little, and it takes them a few days. They go through a withdrawal process. And, you know, but if we were doing something like that, right? There is a transition period where it's so uncomfortable because the old pattern is going to be so easy. The old way, the grabbing a drink to feel comfortable, grabbing the credit card just to make an immediate need happen, right? We talk about that in the program. It's like when you start the Get the Hell Out of Debt program, you go on a credit card detox, just like you would detox from sugar if you had an unhealthy relationship with sugar. Or as my friend Mark Groves has often told women that he knows, you need a detox right now. Because you've been in an unhealthy pattern of one night stands. And so we got to go on a detox for a period of time so that you can really get back in tune with yourself. And oftentimes we're doing those things because we are avoiding something, we're numbing out. And so the fact that you looked at all of that and you were like, you know, that's so healthy. And it can show you too, even going forward, like if you get to a place in your life and you have an unhealthy relationship with a friend or, you know, a workplace or whatever, doing that same practice around like, wait a second, if I remove this and I allow myself to get uncomfortable for a while, what am I truly going to learn about who I am? And I'm going to heal that. And then I'm going to reintroduce it from a place of wholeness instead of from a place of lack. And that's where it can be really healthy. Because what happens to a lot of people is they say, I'm not going to use credit cards for a while. And then those points people say, oh, I use credit cards. I put everything on my credit cards and I pay it off every month and I get the points. Well, that's nice for you, Nancy, but you obviously don't have a problem. And some of us have a problem. And so we have to really figure that out. There's not a one size fits all. And really understanding our own relationship with money and healing our own personal relationship with money is the secret. And you've done that so beautifully in so many areas of your life. Okay. So you get the hell out of debt, which was really great. You hit phase three, and I know you have some serious goals in phase three. Why don't you tell us what some of those are?
I'm trying to save up like 25% of my salary right now by December. I really want like a really nice cushion of just savings because I've never had that before. Obviously, staying out of credit card debt is going to be a forever goal. And then I really want to open up an ETF because I know you've talked about it a lot. Like I want to be an expert at it before I start, but I know that I just need to jump into it and figure it out as I go. And so I'm normally not a I normally just jump in. Like my husband says, oh, he's like, you're always just making decisions so quickly. Like you don't just stop to think. And so he's a little bit more of a, got a noodle on it. And I'm more of a, yeah, let's do that. So it's surprising to me that with the whole getting that started is so daunting to me. And I know it shouldn't be, but
because it's wrapped up in money, is that why?
I think it's just because I'm like, I don't know. Okay. I have a 401k with my company. I have my investment property. I screwed up royally on a Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. I opened a Roth IRA back when I was 21 and found out last year when I was doing my taxes that I never vested the money. And
it was just,
I
know, savings.
It's just, yeah. It was just like a fancy savings.
Just a second. I have diarrhea.
I know. I was so mad.
But look, those are things that they don't tell us, and it's on us to do that. And if we don't know that, we don't do it.
And girl, you are so young, you figured it out. So some people don't realize that till they're 65. So you're okay. You're okay. But here's the deal. So here's what I would tell you with your exchange traded funds. So if you are going to invest in an ETF, listener, hear me. She's saving 25% of her income. We're not going to use that to invest in an ETF. What I want you to do to start investing in an ETF is I want you to look at your budget this week and go, what was I going to blow? What was going to be the money I was going to spend on Uber Eats? Or what's one thing I can sell in my house? Like just a little bit of money, right? 150 bucks, 200 bucks. Grab that and buy your exchange traded fund. Now, once you've done it, this is where the rubber meets the road, because sometimes people don't really start paying attention until they have something at stake. And so even it's a little bit, right? We don't want to use your big savings until we know what we're doing, but we learn by doing. We don't learn by watching when it comes to money. So it's okay. This is all good. So your job this week is to tell us by the end of this week in our social media community, like I did it. You can go live in there. You can dance. You can do an interpretive rap or song if you want, but you're going to tell us that you bought an exchange traded fund, even just like a fractional ownership of a fund that you think you might like. So you're going to post in the social media group and we're going to celebrate you like mad, because the next thing that you need to do, obviously, is just start. And when we use our blow money, which is money that would have disappeared anyway, it doesn't feel so bad if we buy that ETF and then it dips a little bit. We're not going to feel like, oh, I'm losing money, I'm making a mistake or whatever, because we're like, oh, it could have been zero because I could have gotten tacos instead. And so now that's going to start you on your journey. And then you're going to continue to grow your 25% of your salary that you're putting aside and have that as your savings. And eventually, as your assets grow and your phase three, like you're going to be paying off that rental property mortgage. So your assets are just going to grow on that side. The cash flow from that's going to continue to grow. What we're going to do is, as we grow those investments slowly, then we're going to need less savings down the road, because you're going to feel like, okay, I have so much abundance. I've got a high net worth. So then you won't need quite so much in the savings account. But I totally understand why right now you want it. And so that's why I think it's an important goal. And I'm excited that you're doing that.
Thank you. She obviously, just so you know, believes in you fully here, because she doesn't give many people the homework where it's like, okay, you're doing it and you're posting about it, just so you know.
Next week. Yes, yep, ma'am.
The end of this week. The end of this week.
Oh, the end of this week. Okay.
Are you thinking already of what money's going to go to it?
Yeah, I'm looking at my budget now. I'm actually supposed to be getting a bonus from my job this month, so I'll probably use some of that. But I also sell egg rolls, so maybe I'll use some of my egg roll money.
What? This is new information.
You make egg rolls?
Yes.
Wow, I love food, Cheyenne. Anybody that does things with food, I'm just so on board. What do you mean egg rolls? Like the ones that we put like in our air fryers?
Yeah, so you can put it in your air fryer, you can pan fry them. My friends love them. I'm bringing them to parties and get-togethers for years. And I stopped selling them for a couple years. And I had somebody ask me, like, when are you going to start selling these again? And I said, fine, I'll do it. But
it's amazing.
The people are asking, so I'm trying to deliver.
Yes, I love this. I love the creativity in this.
Please figure out how to ship internationally and I'll be your first customer. I want an egg roll so bad right now.
Everybody says that. I'm like, maybe Good Belly. Maybe one day I'll be in partnership with like Good Belly or something.
Yes. I love that. I love that big thinking. That's amazing. Yeah.
And that's a great way to supplement and make some more money. So good for you for thinking outside of the box. And it's obviously something you love to do too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love cooking. It's very therapeutic for me. When Aaron was saying, take whatever you're going to spend on Uber Eats and put it into the ETF, I was thinking, well, I never do Uber Eats because I love cooking so much. So I'm going to have to find something else in my budget. But yeah, it's super therapeutic for me. I just turn on a TV show and I'll just like sit there and roll for an hour or whatever. I used to want to do a food truck. Then I thought more about it. And I'm like, I would have to literally be working every single weekend to make money. And I want to do something where I don't have to be there 24/7 to make money. And so I've been kind of noodling on like a ghost kitchen or a commercial kitchen, and having it be where I don't have to be there. I can just be making money while people are using the space, kind of thing. But that's like a, I don't know, 5 to 8 year plan, probably.
Erin, no, it's about 9 months away. Look at our baby Cheyenne and all the, how far she's come. Look at her. She's grown so much, Cheyenne. We were thinking so small, and now it's like, how can we do this and make it passive income? And I just, atta girl is all I have to say. Atta girl.
Yeah. And then the whole point of that was people can come pick up their egg rolls from that place instead of my house.
Totally. Okay, seriously, I feel like we could talk to you forever and ever about your husband and about egg rolls and about all the things Cheyenne. But just to wrap things up, will you share with us what meeting Erin and finding Get the Hell Out of Debt has meant to you?
I feel like everybody probably says this, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, but just truly life-changing. It started off obviously with like wanting financial freedom and paying off debt, but it became so much more of like learning myself and just becoming more in tune with who I am and feeling better in my own skin and being more confident in not only just like financial areas of my life, but all the areas of my life. And so I just can't thank you enough. And the world is truly, truly blessed to have somebody like you just sharing all of your knowledge and nuggets.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you.
I'm so honored.
What about somebody that's sitting on the fence right now and hasn't signed up for the program? What would you tell them?
It's like honestly the best program out there ever in the whole world. Also, you guys are hilarious. Y'all crack me up all the time. It feels like listening to your best friends talk. I love how real and raw you guys are. And so just don't ever lose that. Because it's great. Even when you get spicy because you haven't eaten on your podcast yet.
Which happens more than we like to admit. Well, Cheyenne, you're one of our besties now. You're one of the besties now too. And we love you so much and can't wait to see what you do. So when you join the Millionaire Club, come back and talk to us again on the podcast, okay?
Absolutely. Thank y'all so much.
I'm going to log into my epilogue right now because I know exactly now who's going to take over the Get the Hell Out of Debt program when I die.
I was like, what are you talking about? But you didn't know where you were going with that.
You could teach the program. She's phenomenal. I'm just so proud of her. And also, I figured out what your matching best friend's tattoo can be.
An egg roll?
You're going to get a magic mushroom holding a whisk.
Maybe not. I mean, maybe if it's very stylistic, maybe. One of the great ideas that you came up with in here, and I jotted a note down because I think we really need to look into this. I feel like we need like a Get the Hell Out of Debt detox farm. Like we need a place, we need like a ranch. We need some place for people to go where they literally check in at the gates and we have like some security guard that does like a full body pat down to get the credit cards and then they come on in.
We have snipers up in the towers shooting the Amazon trucks away.
And it seems scary from the outside, but once you're in, it is a very loving place where we feed you egg rolls. And Cheyenne's there and she does like these beautiful presentations and shares all her wisdom with us. Yeah. I feel like this could be the next phase of Get the Hell Out of Debt.
It could be. I just don't want any horses. No horses, please.
Oh, but how about goat yoga?
Do we have somebody on the ranch who handles the poop?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. That's not us. Oh, come on. That's not us. That goes on the first line of the budget.
Any of the free resources mentioned in this podcast can be found at GetTheHellOutOfDebt.com. Erin's books, Get the Hell Out of Debt, and Naked Money Meetings can be found at your favorite bookstores. This podcast has been created for edutainment, to educate and entertain you for your personal financial journey. As always, you are advised to seek professional, personal financial counsel for your unique money circumstances. Thank you for being here. This podcast is created by AaronSkyKelly.com. It's managed by Carrie Blakeney. You can contact us at assistant@AaronSkyKelly.com.